It's time for Hoag Health Radio. Here's your host, Deborah Howell.
Hello there and welcome to the program. Thanks so much for being here. On today's show, we have a wonderful guest. Dr. David Brown is a neurohospitalist, a neurologist who specializes in the acute care of hospitalized patients and is the medical director of Hoag's stroke program. Welcome, Dr. Brown.
Thank you.
The subject at hand today is stroke and stroke prevention, so let's just cut to the chase and get right down to it. Just what is a stroke?
Well, a stroke is a clinical syndrome of a sudden attack of neurological symptoms. The symptoms can be caused by blood clot blocking a blood vessel in the brain, resulting in the interruption of blood flow to that part of the brain, or from bleeding into the brain. The symptoms are dictated by the part of the brain that's affected. Common stroke symptoms include sudden onset of weakness or numbness on one side of the body involving the face, arm, and or leg typically, although it can be both sides. Sudden change in speech, sudden change in vision, sudden change in the ability to walk, or the worst headache of your life.
Right. And also, really, to be coherently say what you're thinking.
That's right.
So clarity has something to do with it as well. Okay, so those are the symptoms. Now, how common is stroke?
It's very common. There are about 750,000 strokes per year in the United States, which results in about 4 million Americans living with neurological deficits due to stroke.
That's pretty bad. I understand it's the third cause of, third leading cause in America of death. Is that correct?
Yes, the third leading cause of death in the United States, second leading cause of death worldwide. And most people are surprised to find that the mortality from a stab wound is only about 5% compared to the mortality of a stroke, which is 25%. Additionally, more women die from stroke than from breast cancer. So it's not just a disease of elderly men. It really affects everybody.
That is really surprising. Now, why is it important, doctor, to seek medical attention immediately?
Well, we like to say time is brain. Brain cells are exquisitely sensitive to damage. We have many newer treatments to help patients who are experiencing a stroke, but unfortunately, many are only safe and effective if they're started within the first few hours after the onset of symptoms.
So within 3 hours is really what we're saying here.
Well, we have some treatments, the traditional IV TPA, or tissue plasminogen activator, which is an injected clot-busting medication found naturally in our systems, but we inject the concentrated form of that. That can be typically given out to 3 hours, although recently the time window for that is expanded for some patients out to 4.5 hours.
Oh, great.
And then we have more advanced therapies called intra-arterial, where a neurointerventional radiologist guides a catheter through the vascular system up to the place where the blood clot is blocking off the blood flow and can either release TPA at that area, or we also have newer devices that can actually remove a clot. And that can be given out to approximately 8 hours.
That is wonderful news. And what about penumbra?
Yeah, that's what I was describing. So
right.
The penumbra device is a suction catheter or a tube that can go right to the site of occlusion and in the best of circumstances, actually suck the clot out, restoring the blood flow to that part of the brain.
What does penumbra actually mean in Latin?
Well, penumbra actually means a shadow or an unclear area. The idea behind it is that when somebody has a stroke, there may be a small area that's permanently damaged, but there may be a larger area, hopefully, that is potentially savable. If we can reverse the process and remove the blood clot and restore the blood flow. But, of course, the earlier we do that, the better.
And how new is the penumbra treatment?
The last couple of years, we were one of the first centers, we were the first center in Orange County and one of the first centers in general to have access to that device.
That sounds fantastic. It's a great improvement. Now, who is at risk and can stroke be prevented?
Yeah, I mean, basically for prevention, patients need to know to follow with their primary physicians to ensure adequate treatment of typical risk factors for stroke, such as hypertension, diabetes, high cholesterol, and heart disease. Patients also have to know to watch their weight and follow a healthy diet that's low in fat, low in fried and processed foods, to eat plenty of whole grains, fresh fruits and vegetables, drink plenty of water, and use alcohol, sweets, and sweet drinks only in moderation. Patients should avoid smoking as well as illicit drug use. and need to adopt a regular exercise routine. And I think this is particularly important for patients who have a family history of stroke or a family history of stroke risk factors.
Now, when you say regular exercise, how much are we talking about?
Well, I think it's different for everybody. You know, like I said, stroke really does affect a whole wide range of people from relatively young to relatively old. So I think the amount of activity that you have is going to be dependent on who you are and what your prior level of functioning is. But if you have any questions, I would feel free to consult with your primary medical doctor to get some advice. But we know even moderate exercise, such as walking, can have significant risk reduction for stroke and cardiovascular disease.
Sounds good. Now, what's a mini stroke and what are the symptoms?
Well, a lot of people refer to a mini stroke as something called a TIA or transient ischemic attack. Mm-hmm. The idea is that a blood clot may have blocked off an artery and caused some symptoms, but then opens up on its own. Sometimes when we look with our advanced imaging techniques, such as an MRI, we actually find a small area of damage to the brain, and sometimes we don't. At Hoag, we treat TIAs similarly to acute strokes in that we admit the patients, put them on stabilizing therapy, and do a rapid workup, because we know if we put patients on appropriate preventative therapy, they do much better than if it's just left.
Okay, sounds good. Okay, doctor, I know you addressed this a little bit earlier, but are most strokes reversible to some degree?
It's really dependent on time and that patient's anatomy and physiology, so it's a tough question to answer. The biggest reason why patients don't get treated is they don't get to the hospital quick enough.
Sure.
So that's why we teach people to call 911 if they're having any new stroke symptoms, so that we can assess them to see if they're amenable to therapies or not. But even just coming to the hospital, even if they don't get clot extraction or TPA, there are other things that we can do that will help in the long run.
I was going to say, if it goes beyond 3 or, let's say, even 8 hours, somebody has a stroke maybe when they're going to bed and they think, oh, I'll just sleep on it and maybe it's nothing, and they don't get to the hospital until the next day, what are some of the things that you can do at that point?
Even at that point, we can admit the patients. We usually give them fluids through the IV. We start them on antiplatelet or anticoagulant therapy, whatever is appropriate. We're doing a rapid workup to try to determine what caused that stroke, because there are many different causes of stroke, from blood clots coming from the heart or from carotid artery stenosis and many other things. And we can target the therapy to what we think is causing that stroke. We can institute therapies in our acute stroke unit very quickly to help patients get better.
Great. That's wonderful. I understand there are some exercises also that you give patients to do.
Well, we initiate both physical, occupational, and speech therapy as soon as it's possible from a safety perspective. Mm-hmm. And by doing that, we know that we both limit complications as well as enhance clinical outcomes.
And what other departments at Hoag do you work very closely with on a daily basis?
That's a very long list.
Okay.
That comes from everyone from the primary medical doctor out in the community to the emergency department to radiology, interventional neuroradiology, to cardiology, to internal medicine and the medical hospitalists we have at Hoag that help to admit our patients, to the intensive care unit staff and physicians who are always on site to help us out. And I could go on and on, because that's really the point of the way we practice. We prefer an integrated, multidisciplinary team approach to these problems. And by using that type of team approach, you really have a whole bunch of eyes on the problem. Everybody has a different perspective, and it's shared equally. And I would say at the center of that team is the patient. We really believe in patient-centered care. The patients are involved in our rounds as well as their families. And that's an important resource for us, and I think the patients really understand the process they're going through, and I think it's a healing environment that's helpful.
That is truly, truly refreshing from the viewpoint of a patient. And I got to tell you, it's a real community at Hoag. When a patient comes in, you feel like you're surrounded almost by family from the instant you walk in.
We do hear that quite a bit. We try to encourage that as much as possible. We try to make the families and the patients an integral part of the process, and it's a give and take relationship, and I think that contributes to that family sense.
Well, today we've been speaking with Dr. David Brown. Thank you so much for your time, sir.
Thanks again.
Dr. Brown is the medical director of Hoag's Stroke Program, and we thank him very, very much for being with us. For more information on what Dr. Brown and his team are involved in on a daily basis, you can visit hoaghospital.org. And you can also listen to this podcast of the show whenever you like. Also, tell a friend. Remember, second most cause of death worldwide is stroke. It's very, very important to know the facts. This is Deborah Howell for Hoag Hospital in Newport Beach. Please stay with us. There's much, much more to come, including a discussion about Hoag's state-of-the-art stroke unit and rapid response team. Should be very, very interesting. Thanks for being with us today.